Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, intern Mark here with you on this Thursday morning. We will have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports joining us to begin the 8 o'clock hour. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. Joe, a pretty wild story coming out of UNLV in the world of college football. So UNLV has actually come up a couple times on our show this week. Emily Proud, apparently covering a UNLV game, a couple UNLV games at some point this season. We talked with her about that the other day. They're off to a 3-0 start for the first time in 40 years. And a big part of that has been their quarterback, Matthew Sluka, with the good start to the season for them. And now, he's not playing anymore. He's not playing football for UNLV. So the story came out that he put out a statement that he was going to be exercising his redshirt option, I would assume, entering the transfer portal at the end of this season because of, I can't remember the way he phrased it, but basically a disagreement over the NIL part of this. I think he called it representations was the word that he used. Certain representations that were made that were not then followed through on by UNLV and the NIL part of this. Now, David Ubbin has come out with a little bit more on this and apparently talked to Matthew Sluka's dad, Bob. And this was the quote that David Ubbin got. Quote, essentially, they refused, Barry Odom refused, to give us the money. We tried everything. We take payments, anything. And they just kept deferring it and deferring it. And to this day, we do not know why. Sluka's agent, who was hired, says that he was verbally promised at least $100,000 by an assistant coach before committing to the school this past offseason and has only received $3,000, which was a relocation stipend, and apparently they've not received any more than that. Now, of course, the UNLV donors and people associated with that program are denying this. Bill Paulos, who is a longtime UNLV donor, and I'm reading this story from theathletic.com, quote, if there is a monetary agreement, it comes directly to me. If there's a kid getting $100,000, I'll know about it 100%. And they're saying that the only promises that were made to Sluka was the $3,000 relocation fee. So he's not playing as of the moment, and there is a big-time disagreement over the money that he has apparently, allegedly, been promised. What do you make of this wild story in college football that can only happen in today's modern day of college athletics?
Well, there's more. So, obviously, this is like, who do you want to believe? I got to say, you know, the dad's coming out and saying, you know, Barry refused to give us the money. They could be lying. The family could be lying, okay? But, like, the UNLV statement coming back is stuff like, you know, I love this, the school statement, you know, quote, UNLV Athletics interpreted these demands as a violation of the NCAA's pay-for-play rules, yeah, as well as Nevada state law, end
yeah,
quote.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
So, meanwhile, Carl Reed Jr. is a college football analyst for 24/7 Sports. He's a former head coach. He tweeted about this, and he said, quote, all financial commitments for UNLV QB Matthew Sluka were completely met. But after wins against Kansas and Houston, Sluka's family hired an agent. They collectively feel his market value has increased per source, end quote. To which Rob Sluka tweets at him, you got the wrong sources and none of that's true. Interesting thing on Carl Reed. You know, again, he's a former coach. He works for 24/7 Sports, so he's in media. He's also, and I don't know if on Insta this is still the case, but people saw this yesterday. He was listed as the PR contact for the OC of UNLV. So he was listed as the contact for reaching out to the UNLV OC, who was the primary recruiter of Matthew Sluka. So, yeah, that's not great, and it's just a big mess. I mean, to me, you know, obviously it comes down to who's telling the truth. And really, like, I'd like to hear from Barry Odom. I assume Barry Odom's already had his, you know, like, weekly presser. This would, to me, this would probably make worthwhile another presser, I think. Or you can wait till after the game and talk about this stuff. But, I mean, look, first of all, of all the things on this, one thing that really strikes me, Robbie, I mean, the reality of college football is, I know it's UNLV, it's not the SEC, it's not the Big Ten. But, like, if it's true that you gave the kid $3,000 in today's college football, I mean,
what is that?
Give the kid some money. I mean, that's what it is. This is a quarterback, and I watched the whole Kansas game. He was incredible. He's an incredible running quarterback. You know, I don't know that, you know, he's not like an NFL quarterback as a passer. He is a ridiculous runner of the football. And they have a chance to do something here. Like, somebody at UNLV, if this is true and they didn't promise him, okay, fine. Go give him money anyway. I mean, people know market value. If you have a Tennessee quarterback, and I know it's Tennessee, but he's making $2 million a year, okay, which I think is still pretty close to the top of the market. But, like, the market is, if you're a QB at a top school, you're making seven figures.
Yeah.
$100K at UNLV? I think that's worthwhile. And I think what this tells us is, you know, first of all, there are promises made. Did it happen here for sure? I don't know that for sure. But this happens. Jaden Rashad at Florida, yep. $13 million. And then, I mean, that's the first big example. The difference is he wasn't playing and then bailing out in the season. But, like, $100,000 is, like, that's a bargain price for a quarterback for a team that can make the playoffs. And I saw this. I think it was Bud Elliott made a great point on their podcast, and I will try to give proper credit on the name of the podcast. He's 24/7 Sports. Like he said on their podcast yesterday, this is millions of dollars to the school and to these coaches and the staff that a playoff appearance would mean.
Yes.
This guy could get you there. You can't give him $100K? I'm sorry, but, like, I know people are going to take all these things and I'll be like, and I am the port of Rudy. Well, it's over. Like, you can sit here and complain about instant replay, too, if you want. I dare you to watch a game without instant replay and be like, oh, well, they totally botched that play. There's nothing we can do about it. That's fine. Let's go back to the old way. It's not going back to the old way. So, in this situation, we have a market, and this kid, whether it was promised or not, is getting hosed.
I would agree. Now, I have a lot more sympathy for him if he's getting hosed and if he's not just making this whole thing up. There's a lot more sympathy that I've got if they actually promised him $100,000 and they have not followed through that way.
If they're lying, if his dad is talking to David Ubbin and others, but, you know, like you said, Ubbin had that quote, yep, and is saying, on the record, here's my name, Barry Odom refused to give us money. Yeah. Hey, if they're lying, I'll tell you what, man. That's some hardcore lying. It's possible.
It is.
No, look, I mean, if what Carl Reed claimed, Carl Reed, who has apparently a business relationship with the OC of UNLV, if what he claimed is true, that there was nothing promised, everything's fine, and then they just decided to come out, then, yeah, I mean, to me it's like, Let's play that out as a reality. I have my doubts about that scenario.
I do too.
But let's play that out as a reality. You know, that's where, I mean, honestly, I'd go public like they have, but not stop playing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that, like, then do that. Like, you know, this is still a huge story, but don't start with, I know it's, you know, start publicly with, by the way, I'm sitting out the rest of the season. Thanks, everybody. You know, if that's how it went out. But, I mean, again, I want to hear from Barry Odom, because this guy's invoking your name, putting his name on it, and telling everybody that you lied. It's pretty bold if it's not true. And the reality is, this collective, you know, the collective and the school, all this stuff, we never, you know, never formally promised anything. You don't know that an assistant coach didn't say that to him. You do not know that, and you know you don't know that.
Right, exactly. And on the field, like, they had a team that has a chance. Now, there's still a long way to go, but has a chance to make the playoff with the playoff setup and the group of five team that gets in there. Now, if he's not going to play, you can probably flush that down the toilet at this point. So, you know, we're three games in. Like I said, there's still a long way to go. But when you've got the opportunity that Group of Five teams now have to get into the dance here, it's a pretty damaging walk away that they've got going on here with Saluka.
Yeah, they do. It's funny because so he was great at Holy Cross. And by the way, he has a degree from Holy Cross. But they do have Haj Malik Williams, who was a star for five seasons at Campbell. So they do have another guy who passed for 8,000 yards and 58 touchdowns. So, I mean, maybe they'll be okay, you know. And I don't know. I guess if you're them, maybe they, you know, again, like, just take this from the football perspective and how they should look at it. You should not be held up. Like I agree with what I'm a man, I'm 40 said, you know, mullet man.
Gundy?
Like, do the stuff in the off season, and then, you know, once the season goes, then, like, I agree. That's how it should be. And this is, again, all of this leads to, this is why we need contracts.
Yes.
Also, you'll have way less people moving around and things like that. And once there's a contractual agreement for labor and pay, then, like, things like this won't happen. This is going to be a weird time in college football.
We talked about this 2 years ago, or whenever the Jaden Rashada stuff happened. When that happened, we said on this program, not that we're like smarter than anybody else, but it was pretty easy to see coming. That will not be the last time that happens. Like, it will not be the last time that somebody promises a recruit one thing from a financial perspective and does not come through on the back end of it. And what happens when that's the case? Does somebody have the gall to actually not play at that point? Saluka apparently does. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that part of it plays out.
And look, I really hope, like, Odom comes out and, you know, again, you're going to have to PR the hell out of this,
yep.
But says, hey, you know, I don't know what I was said, but we've worked it out. And I mean, I hope he ends up coming back and playing and they pay him. I mean, that's what should happen. That would be the happy ending that I hope this story has.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue the discussion.
Not to talk Robert Kraft.
Wild UNLV story coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Premier 6 Theater at 810 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro. Whether you're a fan of timeless classics or can't wait for the newest releases, Premier 6 Theater has something for everyone. Just head to thegamenashville.com/deals and get half off a $50 gift card while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Our text line, temporarily down, which is unfortunate given the crack that Joe Rex Road just made. Second time cracked come up on the show today, by the way, in two different contexts.
Yeah, both applied to me. Yeah, and I see some people that were definitely, I mean, I totally was like trolling you and ready for you. Come on, Joe, college sports is ruined, and then I was going to yell at you, but I can't read them now. So, but you can get on the YouTube chat.
You can get on the YouTube chat.
If you'd like to yell at me on the YouTube chat,
we welcome
there for you, buddy.
It is, no doubt about it. This thing, I'm really interested to see moving forward here. How many more times does this happen? Let's take this for what I think is actually going on here, and we'll see what information continues to come out. But I'm with you. Like, it's very difficult for me to believe that Saluka's father would be willing to come out publicly and attach his name to all this and call out specific other people if there wasn't at least some sliver of truth to what they're talking about, and they're not just making things up out of thin air. So, like, how much more will this happen? Because one of my things when this has always been, like, if you're going to promise somebody something, you better be ready to follow through with it, right? Like, you better be ready. If you're promising a certain amount of money in today's era, you better be ready to follow through with it. Because if not, I don't blame Saluka. Like, if he was promised one thing and they've only come up with 3% of it on the other side, I'd do the exact same thing. Like, I don't know how you blame the kid at that point.
Yeah, look, I mean, again, it's like, this is what it is, right? People are paid for their services now, and it's pay for play, and it's college football. So, I mean, if I had to guess what happened here, because I don't know, but if I had to guess, it seems like maybe a coach spoke out of turn, and maybe he believed the money would be there, and the money's not there. Like,
yeah.
And that's the problem is you also just have, now I guess I would hope. I don't know what UNLV's, you know, like, booster situation is. I know, like, Turkanian had some good buddies back in the day, but, yeah, that's going back. But, I mean, you would also think maybe, like, this start would you could be like, hey, like, you know, we
promised come up with something.
Kid, let's give this kid's balling right now. We got a chance to do something. So that's what it seems like. It just seems like maybe they just didn't have the money. Again, unless the stuff that Carl Reed of 24/7 Sports is true, because he went out there and put it out there on Twitter.
And quite frankly, when you get into college sports especially, that's where, number one, there's 1,000 people covering all these teams. So there's so much journalism going on out there. And I think in college sports specifically, more so than pro sports, there's a lot of glad-handing going on with some of these stories.
Well, and there's conflicts of interest. Yes. And that's the thing. I mean, pro sports, it is kind of, you know, you still have in pro sports, like, you have Schefter sometimes just letting agents write his tweets for him. But, like, it's collective bargaining, and it's contracts, and it's, yeah, like, there's disputes over contracts and all that stuff and holdouts. But, I mean, yeah, it's all out in the open. And in college sports, it can get real murky.
Yep.
And, yeah, problematic with some relationships and people trying to cape for other people.
No doubt about it. So this is going to be really interesting to see. Number one, is there a solution that's reached here with this where they realize, as you know, they get closer to kickoff, you know, we really need this kid, and let's come up with some money here and let bygones be bygones, and we roll on from there? Or does this actually just stick with he's not playing the rest of the year, he's going to enter the transfer portal, and we'll have one more year of eligibility? And that goes back to the four-game thing. Like, you can play four games and then not burn a year of eligibility there.
And we've seen that. And so, like, for example, USC, Bear Alexander, now with him, there's this whole situation where, and I mean, even like Lincoln Riley's been asked, he's barely playing, all this stuff. So we've seen it before with guys who I think thought, you know, they're on the depth, they're buried in the depth chart, not getting what they thought on the field.
Didn't Kelly Bryant do that at Clemson? I think he played four games his last year there and then stopped.
I think that's right. Yeah. So if it's like, okay, well, it's not working out for me and the team this year, I'm going to save that year and use that last year somewhere else where I can play more. Okay. I mean, and still some people are going to have a problem with it, right? But, like, that makes sense. This is one of those. This is really like the first of its kind to me that I know of, where it's like you're playing really well and this happens, and you're, I mean, you're the quarterback.
Yep.
So it's, you know, an interesting thing here would also be, and by the way, their running back also just did this yesterday. It's kind of buried in it, but, or one of their running backs, and said the same thing, that he was promised stuff and didn't get it.
Yep.
So it seems like there's a communication issue somewhere in the organization, okay? But what about the team? Because I know, and I hear Big Joe, you know, and I agree to some extent with Big Joe. This stinks for football. You have team, and you have, you know, like, there's so much focus now on money and everything. And so what about actually playing for your brothers and all that stuff? And I believe in all that stuff with football. I also believe that, again, it's like when A.J. Brown here, people were like, he's a problem in the locker room. No, he's pissed at the GM.
Right.
The dudes in the locker room want him to get paid too. And I think maybe in college football, it might be a little different, because some guys are still getting nothing,
right?
I mean, your third string right guard isn't getting a ton of NIL probably. But would he be welcome back in that if they work it out after he puts out a statement that he's not going to play? If they give him money, would he be welcome back in the locker room?
I think so. I don't know. I mean, would there be hard feelings one way or the other? I don't know. Like, I do think that part of it is more cut and dry in the NFL, of everybody, every player in the NFL wants to see other players get paid and make their money.
They bargain together. They collectively bargain. Yes.
This situation is different, because we've talked about that even beyond the situation that UNLV is in. Like, does the NIL part of this create problems in the locker room under, like, normal circumstances with a team where you're like, hey, I'm the backup right tackle who's forced to be the starter now, and I've got no money coming in, and here's my quarterback over here getting paid $2 million per year, and they're asking me to do all this stuff they're not asking him to do. Like, where's my money? All this other stuff. Like, is that going to be a problem in, like, normal circumstances, much less something like this?
Yeah.
I think it's a little different in college.
Yeah, it is. And one thing I've said to that before is, I mean, like it at the, especially at the, you know, the top like power league schools. When you see the dude driving like an Escalade, you know, it's like, oh, so someone got him money, but I didn't get any. It's just that it was, you know, in a McDonald's bag before.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff, that dynamic did exist. And, like, you got to – I mean, to me, look, it's still a really good deal for a lot of these kids
sure.
to have a free education
yeah.
and all the things that go. It's just that the ones who – have everybody after them who believe they can change their program and bring them championships and stuff should get paid more because it's called a free market.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I just think we need to continue to see people get a little bit more creative with the NIL stuff. Like when Brew McCoy catches a touchdown pass, people get cookies. I like that.
No, I love that stuff too. Yeah, and there are still a lot of – I mean, Tennessee's been a great example of, like, a bunch of their – I mean, again, Kirby Connell is still getting, like, money for his mustache.
Which is good for him.
Yeah, and it's not – I mean, he was, like, a pretty good middle reliever, you know, but it's like people love the dude. So, I mean, there's still things like that. But, yeah, I mean, it's pay for play, man. I mean, so pay when someone plays like this.
I mean, Will Levis could have had a lot of things going for him in the NIL era in college.
Well, I think he did – got himself
I know, but
with
I don't
that,
think he
right?
ever got the Levi's, which is just
yeah.
crazy to me. Does Big missed opportunity.
Does he have any eligibility left?
Will he be the quarterback of UNLV?
How about the Vols? The Vols taken? After Nico?
Then we could really get in there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take a look around the NFL coming up next. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad at 745. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063 The Game. Tune in to 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville this Saturday for MTSU football. Blue Raiders taking on Memphis on the road. Pregame at 5 o'clock, kickoff at 6:30. MTSU football coverage on 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville, presented by Sloan's Motorcycle ATV. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game. We're live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up shortly. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. Speaking of the NFL, we are 3 weeks into the NFL season. Week 4 begins tonight with the Cowboys and the Giants on Thursday Night Football. Titans will have one of two Monday Night Football games coming up on Monday. The Titans and the Dolphins, which I can feel the anticipation from the nation just growing with each passing day to watch Will Levis versus Tyler Huntley or whatever his name is now.
Is Skylar Thompson playing?
I don't know. I don't think anybody knows yet.
Okay.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm sure people are waiting with bated breath to find out whether or not he's playing. And then you've got the Seahawks and the Lions on Monday Night Football as well. What a doubleheader that's going to be. Seahawks 3-0.
Like, I'm actually going to be like – relegated to watching the Titans on my phone? Is that what you're telling me?
I think
me?
You are.
Probably, you know, to fight somebody in my house?
I think you are.
Yeah. I hate the doubleheader. I do. I don't know.
I do too.
This is it,
one Monday Night Football game. Let's do one time. I don't think it is. I think they have some later in the year, but I will look.
I'd love to know that. I'm sure someone's written about this, the reasoning behind sort of randomly having something here and there. You have a doubleheader.
I don't know.
Interesting. But, yeah, I don't like it. I like Monday Night Football.
I do, too.
You know?
One game, Monday Night Football.
Amateurs in college, just getting their room and board books. By golly, that's what we like.
But lots of surprises through the first 3 weeks of the NFL season, both on the good side of things and on the bad side of things. If you had to guess the betting favorite for NFL MVP after the first 3 weeks of the season, and I'll give you a little hint. There are two that are tied atop. The betting favorite for NFL MVP right now, who would your two guesses be?
Well, I mean, I guess Mahomes would be one of them. He actually
he like, is one.
Numbers-wise, it's not great, but 3-0, and he makes the plays when he needs to make the plays. So you're saying that there's somebody that's
tied with him at
the
top.
Tied with Mahomes at the top. I guess Josh Allen.
That is correct.
Okay.
It is Mahomes and Josh Allen. Tied as the co-favorites for the MVP right now. C.J. Stroud in third at plus 1,400.
And that's, again, That's coming off like a real stinker. I mean, a real stinker for that team. And you know, again, even like last year, I'm not a C.J. Stroud hater because I think sometimes I say things and then you think I'm hating on somebody like Tom Brady. I love him other than his announcing and maybe he's overrated. But, you know, C.J. Stroud last year, by the way, you know, lost to Bryce Young. Bryce Young had better numbers than him, outplayed him in that game. He had 215 and a touch in a 34-7 loss to the Vikings on Sunday. And he's still there odds-wise in the MVP race. Pretty interesting. But that's also preordained to a certain extent. I mean, your guy Jordan Love going into the season was pretty short list. What, fifth or sixth? Okay.
Depending on which book you looked at, but yeah.
And now Malik Willis is the quarterback of the Packers. So sorry, Jordan.
Yes.
By the way, is Jordan, what's the word on him?
Yep, there's no word, but I think he's going to play.
Okay.
He said yesterday that he was very close to playing against the Titans, which would lead you to believe that he's playing this week.
So especially with the Vikings being 3-0.
Yes.
I mean, are they as surprising a team as there is
well,
in this league
right
now?
Well, so let's go through that. So Minnesota is 3-0. Obviously, Kansas City is 3-0. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 3-0 and sit atop the AFC North. Buffalo is 3-0 as well. And the Seattle Seahawks are 3-0. Now, I went through. Somebody asked me the other day who Seattle has played to this point. I did not know the answer, so I went and looked at the Seahawks schedule and what they've had to face to get to 3-0 at this point. And we're going to find out a whole lot more about the Seattle Seahawks coming up on Monday night when they play the Detroit Lions. Here are the three wins for Seattle to this point: Denver, New England, Miami without Tua. Those are your three wins for the Seahawks at this point.
Yeah, a little bit of fool's gold with them. I mean, I think they're good, and that's turned that division in a really interesting situation. I mean, the Rams' comeback the other day was pretty epic.
Yep.
To drop the Niners to 1-2. So that's been some very surprising stuff in there. But there's a little bit of fool's gold with them. I think there may be some with the Vikings, although
Sammy D's playing well.
He's playing well, and also their defense is, I mean, Brian Flores, that's all anybody talks about is like the stuff they do is not like what anybody else in this league does. And the bottom line is, I mean, they go bomb the Giants, great, whatever, but they just beat the Niners and Texans back-to-back.
Yeah.
Pretty good
wins.
The Niners and Texans combined in two games scored 24 points on the Vikings.
Yep. What does that tell you?
I mean, I'm interested, man. I'm interested in them. And I think the Steelers are good. I think you are seeing a little bit. I'm not ready to – I watched a fair amount of that last game. And Justin Fields made some huge plays. You know, there's still, like, I don't know that I'm ready to declare him, you know, comeback player of the year this year or something like that. I would stick with him over Russ, though, like when Russ is healthy.
Yep.
And they're – they still have guys on D who are just as game wrecker as they come.
Of these 1-2 teams, who should be, I don't know if panic is the right word, but the most nervous at this point? So you have Baltimore at 1-2. You've got the Dallas Cowboys at 1-2. San Francisco at 1-2 as well. And the Atlanta Falcons at 1-2 with the money they spent with Okurko coming in there. Which team should be the most nervous right now?
Yeah. Well, I think that I still think the Niners are going to be fine. You know, the Falcons, obviously, tough one. It's a huge win at Philly, and I think you saw it in Philly and the Chiefs game. Like, Kirk's good. I mean, that's not their problem. I mean, they easily. And by the way, there was a PI they probably should have called on the Chiefs. So if you want to talk about Chiefs getting calls, that one I'll listen to. So I don't know. I mean, it's early. I'm not worried about the Niners, but I think the Cowboys would be the biggest concern of them. They've given up 89 points in three games. I mean, they're giving up 30 points a game right now. And they have probably the most talented defensive player in the NFL, but there's a lot of other stuff not going well on that side of the ball. So I'm looking at them. They have one win against the awful Browns.
Yes.
So I think that's the concern. And because, again, like in this NFC, I mean, I really think it's a lot. I mean, it's open, man. Like a team can come out and make a run, but so far, very troubling what their defense looks like.
And then you got the 0-3 teams. Look, Cincinnati at 0-3, certainly the most surprising 0-3 to this point. And then you've got Jacksonville and the Titans at 0-3 as well. Which of those teams is going to win first? That's going to be interesting to see. I would assume Cincinnati. But Titans got a good shot coming up on Monday against Miami.
Titans need to be that team. And I know that they play Monday, so by at that point, you know, they may be the last team with
they might be
with a goose egg, but they should. They are good enough, especially given Miami's quarterback situation, to go win that game. They need to stop the bleeding and get a win. You mentioned the Ravens, by the way. That's the game of the week, is Bills at Ravens.
Yes.
And, you know, they blew the game to the Raiders. They may look back at that at the end of the year and be like, how the heck did we lose to the freaking Raiders? We're up double figures in the fourth quarter. They blew it. But you saw last game, I like the Derrick Henry situation with Lamar Jackson. I think you're going to see more games like that where they both, between them, have like 200 or 200 or close to 200 yards, and I think they're just going to be fine.
I think they'll be fine. I still, like, if they get down, are they equipped to come back?
Mm-hmm.
That's the big question that I've got with them. Can you, if you get down a couple scores early, can you come back in a game like that? Do you have the patience to come back? Because, like, unless you're just down by, you know, three touchdowns early in the third quarter, like, I think you gotta stick with what you're good at for a while.
Sure.
And just see if you can get back into the game that way.
That's also, yeah, no, I agree. I mean, that's going to always be the question until, I guess, you know, they win it all or better at that stuff. But also, like, it's just weird that they blow double-digit leads.
Yeah. By the way, one more, actually a couple more, doubleheaders coming up on Monday Night Football, even beyond this week. Week 7, the Ravens and the Bucs, and then the Chargers and the Arizona Cardinals at the same time. And then week 15, which I believe is close to where that Titans game fell last year, week 14, 15, somewhere in that neighborhood, you'll have the Chicago Bears and Minnesota Vikings and the Atlanta Falcons and the Las Vegas Raiders. Doubleheader Monday Night Football.
Bears and Vikings, Falcons and Raiders?
Yeah.
Okay. Okie dokie.
I don't know why they're doing it, but they are.
Yeah, I'm sure if someone – well, I'm about to ask you to text me, but you can't right now. But if someone knows the rationale, I'm sure, again, it's been reported on. I just missed it. The rando – you know, I get that a couple of years ago I think they tried it for the first time. But this, like, randomly, okay, week 7, let's throw a doubleheader at you. Yeah. Is that they don't like the – like they don't like the one game that would be a standalone, so they're like, let's just have two –
I mean, yeah, I think that's part of what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
They look at it and they say, Titans, Dolphins. Let's see if we can't throw Seattle and Detroit in there. That'd be great.
So my answer is, okay, just give us Seattle and Detroit.
I'm with you.
Great. Good Monday Night Football. Thank you.
Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Madison for a Monday Night Football edition of the pregame show from 4 to 6 p.m. They'll break down the Titans Week 4 matchup against the Dolphins, give you the latest updates before the game. Pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I mean, I think that's got to be largely about the injury. You're talking about a microdiscectomy.
Ugh.
By the way, I didn't even realize this. He also has had a torn ACL in the past and sciatica symptoms from lifting weights that required a different surgery. So two surgeries plus an ACL.
What was that last word?
Sciatica. Sciatica, and I may be totally butchering that, symptoms from lifting, like, weights.
You probably sciatica. Are.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, it's sciatica. Oh, my God, I'm an idiot.
Oh, a classic here on the program. Still maybe a top five moment in the history of Robbie and Rex Road. I enjoyed it.
It's the one thing I've done that got radio station from my, well, not home state, but my one-time home state of Virginia. Even there, it's like, hey, well, you want to come on the show and just talk about, you know, sciatica? I'm like, oh, I guess.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, that was fun. All right, I'm gonna get into something, a story here. There's a few different offshoots of this, including, you know, Brett Favre talking about, you know, we talk about Brett Favre and all that happened with Brett Favre and allegedly and all this stuff, right? Brett Favre talking about he has Parkinson's disease, which separately, you can separate these things, is tragic to hear. Tommy Kramer, former Vikings quarterback, talking about dementia. I mean, there's just more, you know, more and more as we go with these guys who played football. I obviously in a different era that they played football, but that you know, bad things happen to the brain. So that's worth mentioning now because I do sometimes mention Brett Favre flippantly, right?
We do.
In relation to this thing. There's also another serious story related to Brett Favre here, and I want to bring some attention to it. Mark Fainaruwada is an investigative reporter for ESPN. So he had a really interesting story yesterday about Anna Wolf. Now, Anna Wolf, you know, we've talked a lot about this when it happened. She wrote the story for Mississippi Today. It's a nonprofit outlet. She won the Pulitzer Prize for the story, which was a $77 million welfare fraud scandal in Mississippi, the nation's second poorest state. And, of course, the reporting was then-Governor Phil Bryant, Favre, some others, got millions of dollars that were supposed to go to welfare families, were instead used on projects that included college volleyball facility, Southern Miss, and apparently I didn't realize this, a concussion drug company. And then obviously it becomes national news and things like that. Well, the former governor is trying to sue for defamation, and in the lawsuit is demanding emails and all the notes and all these things and her sources. And you know, the judge right now has ordered that they show the judge what they have. So this is, I mean, look, I know that now you tread into politics and things like that, which I really have no interest in doing, but this is First Amendment stuff, okay? And I mean, I know people invoke amendments all the time, but like this is why the First Amendment, you know, it prevents laws respecting and establishing religion, prohibiting the free exercise of religion, abridging the freedom of speech, the freedom of the press, the freedom of assembly, the right to petition the government for redress of grievances. That's the First Amendment. December 15, 1791. It should cover a situation like this. It has before, but it can get really into gray areas, and sometimes, again, politics can get into that. This is a story that I really don't have any screaming rant about, but it's concerning to me, and this is, you know, perma-rant, but, like, people who are trying to do journalism who put their names on things and are real people in the world, okay, like, we need to distinguish between that and people who are on the internet who don't have a name and who anonymously post crap that people want to believe is true. And I know that's separate from this, but like this is important stuff that if you can't do this and if you can't hold public officials accountable, again, regardless of their political affiliation, because plenty of people on both sides of the political aisle have done bad, unethical things that need to be reported on, then we have a real problem in this country. So this is an important story, and it's something that I know I'm going to keep an eye on, and I hope that people pay attention to it because it does matter.
So to be clear, he's asking for notes and sources.
Yeah, and giving up the sources, and obviously that's really what it comes down to, yep. Right? I mean, you know, truth, you talk about defamation and slam, things like truth is always the – I mean, that's the defense, right?
Sure.
It's truth. So I don't know where it's going to go, but just the idea that the judge is right now is having Wolf, but also, you know, Mississippi Today show what they have. You know, giving up sources. I mean, look, you can go back to Woodward and Bernstein, you know, and Bob Woodward did not give up his source. And you're talking about a source that ended up ending a presidency. That's how it should work. So that should never change. That should never erode. And I'm concerned. So there you go. There's my little sort of journalism, calm, concerned rant.
That was a full display of a long fuse. an actual display of a long fuse.
Well, I mean, something
we've been waiting on it.
Some things are more scary than angering.
That is true.
You know?
It's true. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the 0-3 Tennessee Titans, his thoughts on other headlines around the National Football League, as well as we prepare for Week 4 to get underway tonight. Check out our college football game of the week on 94.9 The Fan this Saturday. Georgia taking on Alabama, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. We'll have Charles with us coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.